Good evening and a very warm welcome to all of you. This is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and welcome to the Peace Alliance monthly national call for the month of July. We've got a very full agenda for the night, and I'd like to share that with you in just a moment. But first, I just want to say how important it is for me and how grateful I am that you all have made time to be on this call with us. This movement, to me, is really a lot about hope and a sense that we can take actions in our lives, in our worlds, that will make a positive difference. So you showing up on this call is a sign to me that you share some of that belief and you're willing to learn and take action to make positive change. So I just appreciate each one of you for making that choice tonight. So on our agenda tonight, in a few minutes, I'm going to welcome our special guest, Kim Wright. And then after that, we're going to review a monthly action after Kim has a chance to speak and has discussion with you. We're going to review our monthly action, and I sent our action sheet for the month of July to all of you who registered for this call about 10 minutes ago. So you should have in your email inbox from me our monthly action sheet that we're going to be looking at on this call in about 25 minutes. So in the next 25 minutes, I would love it if you would all open your email, if you have access to your email, and download or open or even print that action sheet so we can look at it together. After we go over that monthly action and have a chance for some further questions, we'll have an update from someone, from two people on the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, and then we're going to have a chance to hear from you folks about what's happening in your world in the peacebuilding aspects of your life, celebrations, challenges, victories, issues, concerns. We want to hear what's going on in your neck of the woods, whether it's in your legislative life or your personal life or your neighborhood. So now I'd like to go ahead and introduce my friend Kim Wright, and I have the pleasure of calling her my friend as well as someone that's really a hero to me in this movement. Kim Wright is a pioneer in the integrative law movement. She is the founder and the publisher of CuttingEdgeLaw.com, a very rich source. I encourage you folks to check out CuttingEdgeLaw.com. And she is a visionary lawyer, independent scholar, and a servant leader on a global tour to transform the legal system. In 2009, the American Bar Association named Kim as one of the legal rebels, finding new ways, this is in quotes, finding new ways to practice law, represent their clients, adjudicate cases, and train the next generation of lawyers. The Bar Association also asked her to write a book about the blossoming movement, Lawyers as Peacemakers, Practicing Holistic Problem-Solving Law, and that immediately became an ABA bestseller. And her next ABA book was just published in 2016, and it picked up where Lawyers as Peacemakers ended. And it's Lawyers as Changemakers. Lawyers as Changemakers covers the expansion and development of the integrative law movement. And she describes the pillars of the movement as integrated reflective practices, values and purpose-based practices, systems thinking approaches, and integral consciousness. Since the end of 2007, Kim has been a full-time nomad traveling to share her vision, reaching thousands of lawyers around the world, including a constitutional judge in South Africa, a community court in Australia, law students all around the world who are just beginning their careers, and many others. And she continues to maintain a virtual law practice in the area of drafting and consulting about mindful contracts for values-based businesses in the conscious capitalism and social entrepreneur movements. She also leads private retreats and offers coaching to those who want to be themselves and still be lawyers. So Kim is really an active, as I said, an active hero in this movement, and it's such a pleasure to have her with us. Kim, welcome.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. And I want to give Dan a plug because he's one of the contributors to Lawyers as Changemakers. I'm sure he'd be too modest to say that.
Yeah, so,
I want to find out who's here. If you are a lawyer, will you press the number one key just to identify yourself?
Just the one key on your phone keypad.
On your phone keypad, the number one.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, does that mean we have no lawyers?
So far, 6%.
6%. Okay. And so that, I guess that means the rest of you are not lawyers. And so I want to talk a little bit about why the law is relevant to non-lawyers. And the way I talk about this is that actually the law is like the DNA of our society. It gives us a framework for weaving our relationships together, setting boundaries, defining duties and obligations. It enforces accountability, and it establishes businesses so that there's a way of having commerce. It tells you who to marry or who you can marry and what side of the road to drive on. And it's also a system that's not designed for forgiveness or peacemaking or a lot of other things that probably those of you in this group are interested in. And so the work that I've been doing over the last, say, 20 years is about redesigning that system and highlighting the people who are working in the system to bring about a more humanized, peacemaking, problem-solving kind of approach to law. I want to tell you a few things about that, just to kind of give you a taste of the movement that is called integrative law, and a few places that you might run into it. So one way is that I mentioned that it tells you who you can marry. It also tells you when you're not married anymore, and it helps to figure out things like where children live. Like, you know, the law actually says that the parents are the preferred place, and that's not always been true. And some places they've removed children from communities, and that was what the law did. So it's an important shaper of the family law system. And the way that it's showing up in integrative law is through some forms of mediation. And some of you may know about mediation in a whole spectrum of ways. And there's also something called collaborative law. And in collaborative law, two people come together with their lawyers, and they make a commitment not to go to court, but to resolve their disputes outside of court and then to just present it to the court. And so the lawyers sign the agreement too, and they agree that they're going to leave the case. They're going to resign if it can't be settled. And what happens in that case is that everybody's got a big stake of getting it settled, because they don't want to lose their lawyers. They don't want to start all over with new lawyers. And they have helpers who are advocates for them working towards a resolution. Probably most people in this group are aware of restorative justice, which is about healing the harm of crime, but you may not be aware of the problem-solving courts. The problem-solving courts are about 3,000 courts in the United States, and the one that's probably the most famous of all the problem-solving courts is the drug court. And in drug court, what happens is that somebody who has a drug problem, instead of being sent to jail, is given the opportunity to get their life in order. And they're given a lot of support in that. The court has social workers and case advocates, and they work together with the person who is accused of having committed the drug-related crime to get them off of drugs, get them clean, sober, employed, housed, etc. Now, the drug courts have been so successful that I think Texas has closed 14 prisons, and some other states have closed prisons. I just happen to have heard that stat. Because people are not going to jail, they're actually getting their lives together, and they're not actually committing more crimes in the future. Another completely different approach that's part of this integrative law movement is called sharing law. And sharing law is related to the sharing economy. So, for example, if you want to have a community garden, there's some rules that need to be put in place, and the person who owns the property, if it's not public land, is concerned about, you know, what happens if you fall and break your neck on their property. And so sharing lawyers look at issues like that. They look at things like pool libraries, cooperatives, and how people can share a car, or I hesitate to say things like Airbnb, because those have sort of left the sharing economy, but that's another example of some of the ways that people have shared, of, you know, like renting rooms in their house and things like that. And so the sharing lawyers look to see what in the law might be preventing people from sharing, and then they help to either find the loopholes that get people around that or change the law. I'll say a little more about that, because the best example for me is the tool library. So in your neighborhood, if you want to start a tool library, so instead of everybody owning a ladder and everybody owning a carpet shampooer and, you know, and et cetera, all the things that take up a lot of storage space and use a lot of consumer money and resources get shared in a community, and somebody takes on that, you know, their shed is the place where they can keep all the stuff. And then, you know, who is responsible if that ladder breaks? And what happens if somebody doesn't return something? So all those kinds of agreements need to be put in place to make sharing easier and make it actually workable. There's another movement, in a completely different area, and it's called Earth Jurisprudence. And Earth Jurisprudence is about caring for the Earth and each other, and really recognizing that the Earth is a living being, and that we have to live with the Earth rather than continuously taking resources from the Earth. One of the pieces of the Earth Jurisprudence movement is the idea that nature has rights. And one of the things I've been really excited about with this is that they're looking at rights in a different way. And there are some rivers. There are two in India and there's one in New Zealand that have actually been declared to be persons. It's like corporations are persons. And they've made rivers persons, which means that all of the people who are impacted by the river now have a way of being able to go to court and say, just because you have a property that's right, you know, on this little sliver of the river, doesn't mean that you can damage the river in a way that affects everybody downstream. So that gives them standing to bring causes of action like that. And another completely different approach in contracts called conscious contracts. Sometimes values-based or mindful contracts. And they use plain language drafting to create a vision, mission, and value statement together, and then to tie the conflict resolution to that mission, vision, and values. So the example is, I just wrote one of these for two Buddhist organizations. And we decided that we were going to use the Dalai Lama's teachings on how to resolve conflict as their conflict resolution model. So first they have to look inside, and then, you know, they go through several steps, and the last step is based on a quotation by the Dalai Lama, is that sometimes you're just on different roads, and it doesn't mean either of you is wrong, but you need to go your separate ways. And in law we would call that we would terminate the contract. And they were really sure that they never, ever wanted to go to court. Now, another thing that's going on in contracts is bringing art into contracts, and in fact, art and law are growing together. So there are a lot of a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, instead of 1,000 words describing something, we actually are putting pictures in contracts and using pictures to describe a picture of somebody falling rather than all of the different jargon that a lawyer might put in about the danger of falling. And we've also been doing a lot of design work with graphics that are explaining the law. There's a group in India that has something called Law Tunes, and Law Tunes are little cartoons, little comic books, really, about the law to educate the public. And so it's written in a much simpler way. Then in South Africa, there's a friend of mine who has what he calls comic contracts. Comic contracts are, it looks like a comic book, and they have blanks in them. And so, like, for example, for somebody who is going to be a housekeeper, it's got pictures of a vacuum cleaner and laundry, ironing, and all of that. And Rob DeRoy, who created these, won an international award for his creativity because he created them for people who were low literacy. And he wanted them to still have an understanding of what they were getting into. And moved from doing that in that the housekeeper kind of situation to farm workers. So all of these are different parts of the law. You know, it's like no matter what kind of law, there is an integrative law model that is coming at it from a different way. But that's, I'm happy to take questions, and that is just like the most superficial view of what I've written about 1,000 pages of books.
Got it. Yeah, makes sense. So that was a snapshot with lots of different sort of collage elements for a huge, huge growing field. If you have a question or a comment, you can press 1 on your phone keypad, and I'll recognize those as hands going up. And in the meantime, I just want to comment that the Peace Alliance, we describe what we call the five cornerstones of peace building, and one of those is humanizing justice systems. And when I heard you talking, Kim, that phrase kept coming back to me, humanizing justice systems, just making the way that we do justice more and more accessible and humane and fun even. So it just is such a perfect fit, I think, for us. Hey, I see a good little bunch of hands. Let's see. David Wick, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Well, hello there. Hi, this is David Wick. I'm in Ashland, Oregon, and we 2 years ago we founded the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission. It's a citizens' commission working very closely with all the parts of the city government. The police chief is part of our commission, as well as people from the homeless community and so on. And I would assume that you're aware of the focus that's been quite a while at the UN around the culture of peace. And what you're talking about really sounds is a vital part of, as we move forward, understanding and co-creating a culture of peace. And I'm just wondering if you've had any interaction with that that focus.
Well, if you're talking about culture of peace as an official organization, no. But really, this is about creating a new culture in law.
Yes.
And creating a more peacemaking culture. My first book was called Lawyers as Peacemakers, and it talked about, it was published in 2010, and it talked about the things that were happening then. You know, and then things like collaborative law and therapeutic jurisprudence were relatively new. And so the second book is really about the stuff that's happened since and how it's become a worldwide movement. But peace is at the core of what we're doing and changing the culture and recognizing the impact that our adversarial system has. You know, it's the only way that the government resolves conflicts is in a polarizing way, that's not creating a culture of peace.
Well, that's beautiful. I really love what you're doing, and I look forward to learning more because you're really at the core of making the systems changes. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. I used to live in Oregon. I'll be there again in September.
Oh, wonderful. Well, let's connect. I'm serious. We have many things going on here, so I'd love to share it.
That'd be great.
Thanks, David. So next I see Donald. I'm sorry, I can't see the last part of your last name. Is it Wilson?
Donald Wilson Bush.
Okay, there you are.
I see here this idea that under Earth law, that legally designating rivers and lakes as persons in order to advocate for natural bodies in legal court is something new. I'm president of the Woodrow Wilson Legacy Foundation, and our tagline is Partnerships for Peace. And the chairman of the board of the Woodrow Wilson Legacy Foundation is not able to be on with us this evening. However, she is the recorder registrar for Inyo County in California, where the Owens Valley and the Owens Lake has been a matter of dispute for almost or more than 100 years now, where the city of Los Angeles actually owns it and they drained it, and it's the largest brownfield dust hazard in the world. Is it possible that there will be a new designation of courts jurisdiction in the United States that might be able to designate Owens Lake as a person? Do I understand this correctly, that this is a direction that the courts are going?
It's the direction we're going in the world. Places like Bolivia and Ecuador have actually put the rights of nature into their constitutions, and there's a big ending ecocide movement, and that is mostly based in Europe, that is looking at shifting more towards the rights of nature. India is really a mixed kind of place because they have declared the two rivers to be people or persons, and they also are declaring various animals to be sentient beings that have their own rights. And so there's a, you know, there are examples, and you know, I'd like to say that we're making great progress, and in the grand scheme of things, it's slow progress, and I'm not sure when the United States is going to be ready to do that, but I can probably, if you want to send me an email, Dan's going to give my email out, I can probably find a few people who are interested in this in California and get you connected, at least to have some conversations. One of the really cool things going on in the Earth Law movement is our Children's Trust. I don't know if any of you know that, but the children are suing the federal government on their behalf and future generations, because the environmental damage is taking away their right to happiness. And they're based in Oregon, Eugene, Oregon. It's called Our Children's Trust, probably .org. And they've survived several attempts at summary judgment. And they're going to trial, I think it's February 8th, against the federal government. If they're successful, and I encourage everybody to find out about them and support them and share about them, if they're successful, a lot of environmental projects will build more steam.
Thank you.
Thanks, Donald. Next, I see Nancy Merritt's hand up. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing this work. I've been a paralegal for like a million years and working in the area of employment labor and anti-discrimination law, and fortunately work with an attorney who does, we do everything in our power to settle things without going to court. So that's been rewarding and challenging. And the few times we have had to go to court is not fun and not satisfying. So I totally believe in all of this. I'm wondering also, when you mentioned about the Earth's jurisprudence, I caught the tail end of a story the other day about PETA suing on behalf of a gorilla. I don't know if you heard that, who had picked up this author's cell phone and took a bunch of selfies. And he put those on the cover of his book, and PETA decided that the, I think it was a gorilla or some kind of monkey, should get the proceeds from that and not the author. And it was, I believe it was actually heard in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal last couple of weeks. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. I also had a question. So how do you make a living being peaceful in the law? How do you,
me personally, you know, or everybody?
Well, you or just, yeah, people who would want to go about doing that.
You know, lawyers have that as their first concern. And,
yeah.
and for some, it is a concern. And for others, they're actually doing better than they did when they litigated. Because when people are really happy, they see the business. Whereas people who litigate tend to hate everybody when they're finished, and they don't pay their bills. And so lawyers who do this work actually get paid, and then people are happy and they send them business. And so that that's something that they find, like, anytime you change your career, there's a ramping up process, and so sometimes there is a ramping up process. But you might also be interested in, there's a woman in Berkeley who wrote a book called Structured Negotiation, and she works with clients who are blind, and she has gone to some of the biggest companies, pharmacies, banks, about their complying with the Americans Disabilities Act.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of suing them, she goes to them and she says, looks like you're not in compliance. We'd like to help you get in compliance instead of suing you. And her work has been really successful, and she has gotten paid. And she's gotten better results than she would have if they had sued and they'd been made to do the minimum. She's actually gotten them to, you know, go above and beyond the minimum requirements. And so while she does that in the civil rights area, that's a model that can be used for a lot of other kinds of cases as well.
That's very cool. Thank you.
Sure.
So inspiring. I might have to go take another bar exam, Kim.
you wouldn't be the first person to do that.
after talking with you, they talk with you and they go back and take another bar exam. I believe it. I believe that. All right. Let's have one more question for now, and then we'll go on to look at the action. I already called on Donald Wilson. I'm sorry. Karen Johnson. Go ahead, Karen.
Thanks, Dan, and thank you for your work. My question is, and you may not have the data, but just kind of a general sense of, what do you think the percentage of population of attorneys in the United States that have at least been exposed to this kind of law or that are practicing it, whatever you might have a better sense of?
That's a great question, and we don't know. I can give you some examples. So exposed to, I'm doing pretty well, because my two books have been bestsellers, and the ABA, the American Bar Association, has a newsletter that goes out to 240,000 lawyers, which would be 25% of the population of lawyers. And in May, they did an article on integrative law as their cover article. And I've appeared in, many of the people that I work with have appeared in the ABA, and even the New York Times has written about some of these folks. And so exposed, we're not doing that. In terms of practicing, collaborative law has a pretty good foothold. There are probably collaborative lawyers in every state, and restorative justice is both lawyers and non-lawyers. And I just went to a conference in Oakland. Dan was there too, where there was a pretty big showing of people, lawyers and non-lawyers. They had.
We lost you for a minute there, Kim. Can you still hear us?
Here, Dan.
You're back now. Hi. It may have just been me,
okay.
But I didn't hear you for the last 10 seconds or so.
Yeah, a message came up.
Okay.
And so we had about maybe 1,300 people, which was the maximum capacity at the Restorative Justice Conference. And there were a lot of lawyers there. There are over 3,000 problem-solving courts, and so all of the lawyers who work in that court, the prosecutors, the defense lawyers, the judges, they're all exposed, and they're all working. So there's not a central place where we can say these are our people, but that's actually one of the things that I've been looking at. How do we count how many of us there are out there? I would say that it's probably still still less than 10%, and maybe even a lot less than that. There are about 1 million lawyers in the United States, but we're growing every year. And a lot of them are sort of, they're secretly wanting to change, but they're not concerned about making a living, or lawyers are really afraid of losing their edge and then losing their respect in the community. So that's part of the culture of law that isn't working, that we're working to change too.
Yeah, thank you. Kind of like the politicians that have to appear tough. That's the thing with lawyers too,
right?
Is that you're tough if you've got that power over instead of power with running. So thank you. I appreciate the
right.
The assessment. Yeah. Good news.
Mm-hmm. Well. Awesome. So there's still a number of hands still up, but what I'm going to ask you folks to do is to hold your questions until after we look at the action sheet. I want us to look at this action sheet together. And as I said, this action sheet was sent to everybody who was registered for the call about 5 or 10 minutes before this call started. So if you haven't already, if you have access to your email, please open your email and open that document. Take a look at it with us. So I'm gonna put the hands down for now. If you have a question, we're gonna take some more questions after we look at the action sheet, and hopefully we'll get a chance to get to everybody. But if you have that action sheet in front of you and you're willing to read aloud for us, please go ahead and push 1 on your keypad. I'd love to hear, just another voice who's willing to read aloud for us. If you've got the action sheet and you're willing to read it out loud, it's not very long. Okay, great. I see some hands going up. Thank you very much. And again, I can't see the very end of your name, but your first name is Tara, and is it Celeste? Or...
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Thanks.
Oh, great. I found an email, but I'm sad to say I don't see the action sheet, actually. So I can't read it out loud.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm
so,
sorry.
That's all right. Thanks for being willing anyway. I went ahead and muted her. Were you saying something else, Tara? Oh, I've muted you and unmuted you twice. Go ahead. What was that? Sorry, Tara. Was there something else you were going to say?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Then I muted myself. No, I was searching for the email and didn't find, I mean, I found the email, but not the sheet. Sorry.
Okay, strange. I attached it. I think I attached it both as a PDF and as a doc. Let's see if somebody else has it. Okay. All right. Donald Wilson Bush may have it in front of him again. Donald, do you have that action sheet in front of you?
I'm looking at a Peace Alliance action, hug a restorative lawyer.
Yes,
that's
please.
It.
Yes, we go ahead and read that whole thing for us.
Indeed. Now, I've been taking notes on it in the Word document you sent, so I may make a mistake and actually read some of my notes, but I'll try to read the main heading. Number one, find some of the integrative, holistic, restorative legal resources near you. Who are the lawyers blazing trails into more collaborative approaches in your area code? A Google search should do it, with the name of your town or your state and one or more terms like restorative law, holistic law, integrative law, therapeutic jurisprudence, collaborative law, sharing law, earth law. Then either consider, one, your family and friends' legal needs and reach out to one or more of these lawyers to find out more about their work, or to do something nice for one or more of these leading-edge lawyers, send them a note expressing appreciation or a potted plant or a bar of dark chocolate.
Perfect. Thank you. So this is the idea. Thank you, Donald. The idea is this is a budding movement, and there are people in your area that are blazing these trails, as we said, and trying to change the way we do relationship. And probably just about any of you has had or will have some reason to connect with a lawyer, whether it's about a domestic relations issue or a wills and estates issue or something about a conflict over property or anything like that. So this is just an opportunity to think about going a more collaborative route and finding someone in your area who might be able to help you with that, or that you could refer to a friend. Now I'd like one more volunteer. I'm gonna put those hands down so you know what you're getting into. I'd like a volunteer who's willing to do that Google search with us live on the phone right now, just to see what you come up with. So go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if you're willing to just do that search live right now. So we have somebody actually going through that motion. Okay, great. Back to Tara. Tara, you may not have the action sheet, but you can Google.
So I'll start with Googling restorative law.
Sure. And where do you live?
I'm in the Wasatch Front, northern Utah.
Okay. Yeah. So you could do Utah restorative law if you like, or if you have a county, but maybe start with Utah restorative law, see what you come up with.
Sure. The first thing that comes up is the ACLU of Utah, which isn't surprising. I guess that there was, in 2003, it looks like maybe there was an article written by someone who was part of the Utah Restorative Justice Conference. That's pretty old, though. And then going back to 2002, so there's not a lot of really recent information except for the ACLU. Maybe I'll try integrative law.
Why don't you try collaborative?
Okay.
Yeah.
Collaborative law.
Just to cheat a little bit, I think it's collaborative law.
Okay, so that brought up a collaborative family lawyer, their website and everything, and also a divorce attorney, another family lawyer, lots of divorce and family and custody and mediation for families, divorce mediation, more child custody. So, and here's one that's specifically, just have a woman on your side. I guess it's just that she's a female attorney. Not just, but that's what it seems like it is. So that's interesting. And then should I try one more? Maybe should I try the therapeutic jurisprudence? I've never even heard of that.
Sure. Let's see what you get.
So while you're looking, I'll just mention that the Chief Justice, retired Chief Justice of the Utah Supreme Court, actually teaches meditation, and he's actually qualified as maybe a Buddhist monk. Anyway, he's really, the Utah Supreme Court is a really cool place, and not like any other Supreme Court, because the people I've met who are on that Supreme Court are actually really kind of spiritual and integral thinking. And I've met them over the years at a few places. Not all of them, but, you know, a few here and there. And the law school has a couple of really great leaders.
Oh, at the University of Utah, probably?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you find, Tara? Anything new?
Okay. Yeah, well, so for therapeutic jurisprudence, there's a lot of scholarly articles that come up for that, specific to Utah. There's one about embracing the ideal, I guess, is kind of like saying like that more the intent of the law, I guess, being held up in the first place. There's a lot about social work. There's a lot about physical therapy and mental health court. And there's a few articles about ethics and jurisprudence. Interestingly, though, a lot of these, some of these are going back to like 2001. There's a few like 2013, but some of these are kind of old references. It must have been a hot topic around a decade ago, but hopefully it gets hot again. So, yeah. Interesting. That one brought up a lot about mental health and social studies as far as results go here.
Awesome. So what you've just done is, in my view, is make yourself a little bit more of a resource, well, for your own needs, and also for, you know, if it should come up, if any of your friends or family has domestic relations needs in terms of the law, now you know that there are a bunch of folks in Utah that consider themselves collaborative lawyers, and that's an option to sort of seek more of a win-win, more of a relationship-oriented solution. If you wanted, the next step would be, as we sort of mapped out here, if you wanted to reach out to one of those folks and learn more about what they're doing, just make it, you know, bring yourself a little bit more of an education. And if you see somebody doing work that you really admire, then it might be, you know, worth sending them a note, you know, as a Peace Alliance or activist or member of our community. You can say, I appreciate what you're doing for the world, and I just wanted to give you a high five and send you this chocolate bar or something along those lines. So that's,
I can't underestimate I think it would be really important to the lawyers, because when you know that you have support in the community, you have courage. And it's really hard to be that kind of trailblazer when you're all by yourself. And, you know, with that dynamic that we were talking about earlier, that lawyers are afraid they're going to lose their edge, and lawyers are really concerned about their reputation, and, you know, that they're going to be homeless and living under bridges because they've come out and said something that, you know, alienates everyone from them. I mean, you know, the whole slippery slope that lawyers go down, that having a little bit of encouragement actually makes a huge difference.
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, that's what Kim and I were sort of thinking when we came up with this action together. This really is a budding movement. These are like new sprouts, you know, if you want to take the garden metaphor a little farther, and we have the chance to sort of nurture these folks and really make a difference. I mean, we probably all know what it feels like if we're having a challenging day or a challenging week. If somebody out of the blue says, hey, I like the work that you're doing, I appreciate you, that can make a ton of difference. So that's sort of the thinking behind this action. Thanks for participating with us, Tara.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll definitely follow up here. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's great.
Thanks, Tara.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay, so we've got a little bit of time. If folks have questions, I'm going to put the hands down because you might have been raising your hands to do that Google search. If anybody has further questions for Kim or about the action, I think we probably have about three or four more minutes where we can take those questions. So does anybody have a question for Kim or a question about the action that you want to bring up? Oh, okay, I see. Diane, your hand was up before. I'll go ahead and unmute you.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you so much. I'm a psychologist, and I trained in collaborative law in Pennsylvania, like around 2000. And I'm also trained as a mediator, and I'm at the School for Conflict Analysis and Resolution, so I'm in the field. So one is I don't want to exclude therapists, psychologists from collaborative law because I think we have skills to contribute. Just one thing I want to announce, I was at the UN for 2 weeks ago, for 3 weeks, and in terms of international law, we adopted a treaty to ban nuclear weapons, which probably people didn't hear about, so that was a big success. Anyway, two things on a personal level. As much as everything in my life is about creative conflict transformation, I've been on wanting a third party and not being able to get it in my condo building. There was toxic mold and they retaliated against me. And I begged and begged and begged for mediation. And they basically dragged me through court and I've lost everything. And I testified 7 times in DC council and got them to propose legislation. So, you know, one thing, I guess if you can't do it, I could be a third party, but I can't do anything for myself as a second party. So maybe a comment about that, like when you're outgunned. And the other thing, as a result of that, I'm interested, and I'm in D.C., and I see you're in Arlington, and I've also presented at Peace Alliance conferences years ago on Dennis Kucinich's peace cabinet position. I want to start I'm calling it like a court-free practice, and I got the domain name of bestcasescenario.solutions. So I'm looking to build a network of lawyers and therapists to collaborate on that. So two things, one being outgunned and the other thing reaching out to other people to create an alternative to the legal, easily accessible alternative to the legal system.
Diane, you should send me an email so that if I run into someone who is in Pennsylvania and is also looking for the same thing, I can connect you because that's really common.
I'm in Washington.
I heard you say Pennsylvania. Okay, so you're in D.C.
Washington.
Oh, okay. So it's really common that that people will say that, and then I'll run into somebody else who's also looking for that. I'm a major connector, and I have a lot of miracles around the connection. So please send me an email just so I'll know.
Okay,
you mentioned an important part of this whole movement is that typically lawyers do not like to be interdisciplinary or multidisciplinary, and in the integrative law movement, we really welcome the participation of other experts. And especially in a neutral sense, and collaborative law is one of the places where that has really been created as part of the model. And so thank you for mentioning that so that I could make that point, is that one of the ways that collaborative lawyers are successful is that they do partner with all team that works together to resolve the divorce. And I want to thank you for the nuclear ban. I did see that, and then also about sometimes people do end up in court because the other person is they're determined that they're going to go to court and they're going to use the power of the court sometimes in an abusive way and sometimes because it's a matter of principle. And there are cases that should not, specifically thinking on civil rights cases, they should not be mediated on a case-by-case basis, but they should be resolved in a bigger court. But when you are in that situation, I think one of the things that's possible is one of the other models is the legal counsel model, and that is working with a lawyer who can help you stay true to yourself no matter what the other side is doing. And so the legal counselor will help you really get in tune with what your values are and in tune with, you know, what you will and won't do, what are your principles, and help you keep your sanity in a very insane process.
Too late for that, I think. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Diane. So there are still a few hands up, but I think we need to keep within our time agreements. We need to move along to our Department of Peacebuilding Committee report and then have an opportunity for more shares from the field. For the folks that still have questions for Kim, you should have, in the email that you received, it should have Kim's email address at the top. But just in case, Kim, will you tell us your favorite email address to receive any other inquiries at?
It's jkimwright@gmail.com.
Very straightforward. jkimwright, the W-R-I-G-H-T, at gmail.com. Great. Kim, such a pleasure being with you, and I hope we can do it again. There's obviously a lot of interest and a lot of engagement, and as I said, what you're doing is so right on with our humanizing the justice system cornerstone. So any final words that you want to share before we say farewell to you?
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity, because one of the parts of my mission is to make sure that everybody knows about this, so that whether it's a lawyer who wants to change their practice or someone who might need a lawyer. And so I appreciate the opportunity. And I have a whole bunch of websites, and Cutting Edge Law was mentioned earlier. JKimWright.com is sort of my catch-all website that talks about everything I'm doing. In August in Boulder, Colorado, I'm actually leading a conscious contract, if there's anything that piques your interest. And you can write me for more information about that.
That's a conscious contract workshop in Boulder. How long is that workshop?
It's a two-day workshop.
Two-day workshop. Okay, so... So, and I assume that's mainly for lawyers, correct?
No, we have a lot of people who are coming who want to know how to do it so that they can work with lawyers to help them be more conscious.
Gotcha. So whether they're in business or their personal lives, probably a lot of business people who want to use those skills. Great. All right, and they can find out about that at jkimwright.org.
Yeah, that particular one is ConsciousContractsColorado.com.
ConsciousContractsColorado.com. Okay, great. Again, Kim, thanks so much for being with us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks,
yeah,
everybody.
Pleasure. Bye-bye. Bye. So I am about to introduce Nancy Merritt and Karen Johnson from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, who are going to give us a little update on the Department of Peacebuilding. Before I do that, I want to make a quick pitch. If you find value in what we're bringing and what the Peace Alliance is bringing to the table in terms of these great resources, ideas, this movement, I would encourage you, if you're not already a monthly donor, to go on our website and click the donate button and become a monthly contributor. We really survive and thrive on the commitment of folks who are willing to give anywhere from 5 to 20 or however much is in your budget, dollars per month. Or if you're moved to make a one-time donation, that's also highly welcome. So I just wanted to put in that plug. If you like what we're doing and you value this stuff and you've got a little bit of financial flow enough to where you could share some of it with us, we would certainly appreciate it and welcome it. Okay, now let me find Nancy Merritt. Your mic is open. The wonderful Nancy Merritt from our Department of Peacebuilding Committee, our affiliated Department of Peacebuilding Committee. Where are you, Karen? Oh, there's Karen. And Karen,
okay.
you guys are on. And I'm sorry, we're down to 5 minutes till the end of the call. So do what you can to keep it under five, so we have a chance for.
We will talk really fast. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Sorry about that. Sorry
so the Department of Peacebuilding bill right now has 31 co-sponsors in Congress, and a lot of the work we're doing at every level is relating to networking with members of Congress and organizations and cities, and we're doing a lot of local actions like the Japanese Lantern Ceremony in Berkeley. In Oakland, we helped lobby for Department of Violence Prevention, which was just adopted by the City Council. At the state level in California, we've been working with California Democratic Party forever and are going to their executive board meeting in August with a resolution to funnel money away from war making and to peace building for people and the environment. And we're also seeking their endorsement of the Department of Peace Building legislation. At the national level, we just got done with our Mother's Day pie meetings, and I will put out a written report on that. But if any of you had meetings and didn't report back and want to get into the report, please let me know. So we had folks from California, like four different areas in California, Georgia, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maine, and Ohio that I know of. So if you did a Mother's Day pie meeting, even a late one, we just finished our one with Barbara Lee about a week ago, send me any information, and it's nancy@peacealliance.org, and I'll get that into the report, and you'll be seeing an email about that. So, Karen, can you talk as fast as I did?
Yes, I can. Okay.
Okay.
Quickly, and sometimes it happens slowly. Okay. Two things I want to mention. One, Nancy mentioned the Oakland City Resolution for Violence Prevention Office. We just learned on our national campaign call last night, a couple of people did a little bit of research, and there are two other cities in California that have some type of infrastructure at the city level. Richmond, California has an Office of Neighborhood Safety, and Santa Rosa has a Violence Prevention Partnership. And we also learned New Mexico, who has been advocating for a state bill for a department or an office of peace building, is now looking at a strategy to get city council resolutions in support of their state bill. Years ago, when we first started out advocating for the Department of Peace legislation, we went out and got resolutions from cities and other government and tribal entities in support of the federal legislation, and we have instituted a subcommittee this year in our national committee to try and promote that again and look at all the different types of organizations at city levels and otherwise that have since formed that we can connect with that might make it a lot easier for different cities to kind of band together and do some actions and get some support at the city council level. And while we're doing it, see if people may find out that they have some kind of violence prevention principle or infrastructure already and to start building on that locally. And the other thing, so we're exploring that. We have monthly calls on that as well. If you want to be on the list and you're not already for the Department of Peace legislation, you can also email nancy@peacealliance.org, and we'll get you on the lists for that. We're also having lobby days this year, November 4th and 5th, 2017. We should have a save the day out, I believe, next week, and we'll have registration open starting August 1st. Just a minimal charge to cover costs. We'll have training for people who haven't lobbied before and match them up with people if they're uncomfortable. But I've never had anybody come away from lobbying and say it wasn't an amazing experience. So whether you're experienced or not, you're very much welcome to join us. We're going to be stationed at the Hotel Harrington, which has a nice economical cost, and it's very central to D.C. And the Hill. And I think that's it for now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. That was very, very concise. So much information. And again, nancy@peacealliance.org is where you can write if you want to get on the email list for the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, if you have specific questions for Nancy about that. We're right at the top of the hour now. So I feel like I'm not being true to my word because we're not going to have a chance for shares from the field unless we go over a little bit. So what I could do is, let's do a quick straw poll. If you would like to extend this call by 4 minutes to have a chance to have some shares for the field, press 1 on your keypad. Let me see if you're open or interested to having 4 more minutes on the call to hear shares here and give some shares from around the country. Press 1. Wow. All right. So we're quickly over 50%. 60%. Great. I'll say if folks need to leave, if the other 40% need to go, I'll say thank you all so much for joining us. If you need to leave and have a beautiful evening I really appreciate your time and your connection. And for the folks that are staying with for another 3 to 4 minutes, you can go ahead. I just put those hands down. So if you have a share, something that you want to share with us about peace building in your area, about victories, challenges in your legislation process, in your media work, in your neighborhood, in your family, go ahead and press 1, and I'll gladly unmute you. If you just pressed 1 for that poll, I put your hand down, so don't worry about it. You can press 1 again. Okay. Shannon, our Empowering Community Peace Building Council Lead, Shannon Betters. Welcome, Shannon.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for the call. It's just been wonderful this evening. I just wanted to real quickly say that you can email me at shannon@peacealliance.org if you're interested in becoming part of our new Facebook group, Community Peacebuilding Networking. So we're networking people from all over the world who are involved in community peacebuilding and events supporting them. And if you'd like me to send you an invitation for the group, all you have to do is send me an email. And again, that's just at shannon@peacealliance.org. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Shannon. I love that 60% of you wanted to stay on the call, and that was the only hand that went up to share. So the rest of you just really wanted to listen to each other. It's kind of a beautiful thing. If anyone else has something they want to share, you can press 1, and I'll see your hand go up. Oh, there's another hand. Where is it? There it is. Elizabeth, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Hi. In Hawaii, we have practically nothing going on in restorative justice outside of the government, and the government's very picky about the cases that they choose. And so we have a network, a loose network of what we call pro se litigants, people who are taking their cases to court and trying to do all these ho'oponopono and restorative justice processes along the way, and trying to use that as an impetus to get the other people to the table. And so I have a website, divinejustice.org, and I'm hoping to find people who are willing to work as, you know, to lead that effort to bring a healing, because I'm a biomedical engineer and I see, okay, there is the kind of stress that comes around when, you know, that's why you go to court, because you're dying of a stress-related disorder. So you want to stop dying, you need to get the other people to stop, or whatever the problem is. There are ways that we can work together, and I'd like to see it happening nationally, where we'd be able to call somebody up nationally and they'd say, oh, yeah, we'll help you out there. Even if you're way out there in Hawaii, we'll still be able to help mediate or something like that. So I'd like to invite people to get in touch with me, info@green247.org, or at least, you know, maybe we can connect through one of you about. So I'm just a pro se litigant. I've won a lot of injunctive relief, and that's really all I care about. I'd like to learn how to win the money, too, and that's what we need attorneys for, to help us to figure out how we're going to collect and all that. Thank you for your time. Bye.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. That's great. So you're saying that I should take the Hawaii bar and come over there. Half kidding. Next, let's see. I think we probably have time for to stay within our word. Let's see. I see a hand, but it was somebody who's already shared. But that's okay. All the other hands are also people who have already shared. So Donald Wilson Bush, you're back.
Yes, I'm curious to hear from Nancy Merritt a little more on what progress has been made on the Department of Peace Building.
Okay. Nancy, catch that?
Yes, I'm here. As you know, every Congress we have to reintroduce the bill and get new co-sponsors and all of that stuff. So each time the bill is reintroduced, we work with Barbara Lee's office to update it and incorporate ideas like restorative practices, restorative justice, and other things like that. So I think as we go along, we're contributing to the dialogue about the growing ideas in peace building. And we're continuing to help get co-sponsors. So we're doing a lot of networking with members of Congress. We're doing a lot of networking with other organizations to build on this idea and to show people that it's kind of this bill is infused with the same kinds of ideas that we have with our cornerstones. And so in that way, that's what we're doing. We're building on that. We're growing our list of organization co-sponsors and, just staying active at every level, like local, regional, statewide, and national, and international, actually. So that's the kind of stuff we're doing. It's not easy in this climate, as you can imagine, and it's always a challenge for us to try to figure out how we participate in the national dialogue, how we be the peace and do the peace. So I don't know if that answers your question, but those are some of the things we're doing.
Would you say that we have a bipartisan participation? Do we have a Republican co-sponsor, for example?
No, I wouldn't say that. In this right now, it's basically when we've gone to Congress, we actually have met with quite a few Republicans. And last year on International Day of Peace, we met with Paul Ryan's chief of staff. And we didn't disguise who we were. We were shocked we got that meeting, and it was interesting. You know, they believe in some of the things we believe in, but we're coming at it from slightly different angles. Their main take is that the religious community and the private community should be doing all the peace building work, basically, and there shouldn't be any government involvement. We're trying, we try as hard that they believe in pieces of it, but they can't. A lot of them flat out told us we cannot support it because we've taken a pledge not to do anything that increases the budget.
Last question. Do we have a website dedicated to the project, Department of Peacebuilding?
So if you go on our website and then the Peace Alliance website and then you look under issues, there's a Department of Peacebuilding page, and it has a lot of resources, a lot of flyers, a lot of information you can pass out to people or learn about. And then there's a movers and shakers, which is where people, grassroots folks, can post what they've been doing. And the Department of Peace Building folks have probably posted the majority of the articles there, so you can get a sense of some of the stuff we've been doing. We would love a Republican, but it hasn't happened yet. You'd have to be a very brave Republican right now to do that.
Well, I am a Republican. My last name is Bush, and I have some friends in California that are looking for a bridge to the bipartisan space that the new Donald Trump world has created when California did not support him, when the CRP did not support him, and I think they might be open to it. Are you open to collaborating on a website designated to Department of Peacebuilding?
Yeah, would you send your information, and we will definitely see how we can overlap or, you know, collaborate. Yeah. Because we do need to reach out. We need to all reach out and listen to and hear each other.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So exciting. I'm pleased that we went over time. I'm sorry that I didn't manage time more efficiently, but I'm also so glad that last conversation got to happen. Thanks, Donald, and thanks, Nancy. I'm going to go ahead and remute you. Thanks, everybody, for your patience and sticking it out for the last bit of our call. I'm going to now unmute everybody in just 3 seconds so you can say goodnight to each other, and I'll share one of my favorite quotes, so the closing quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, who said, "The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams." So the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. And now your mics are all open if you want to say goodnight or thank you or anything else to each other. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
Peace. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Benny.
Hi.
It was a great call.
Is Nancy still there? Okay, bye.